The title of this is Don't Assume to Know. Don't Assume to Know. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, if you have your Bibles. For as much as many have taken in the hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. I hear pages turning, so that's about where we're going to start. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I love how Luke opens up these scriptures to us this morning. He's saying we're writing the Bible, we're writing the gospel, we're writing the eyewitness of account. We're doing it like the autopsy. We're telling you how it happened after it happened. We're not writing the book to make money. We're not writing the book to do an autobiography. We're not writing the book for you to like what Jesus did. We're writing you the book to tell you exactly what happened while Jesus walked on the face of this earth. For you to know. And Theophilus, that name translates and means friend of God. Man, I'm telling you right now, nobody could write the Bible and put names in it, what the names mean, and be any more perfect than it is. We wrote a gospel letter from a doctor that's almost like an autopsy to a man named Theophilus who is a friend of God. That way you'll know what you know what you know. Golly, y'all are, man, Scott, I didn't know what you was talking about until I got up here. Anybody in here friends with God? Is there anybody in here friends with God? Man, God's a friend of mine. Amen? I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Amen? God's a friend of yours. And God wrote you a letter telling you exactly who He is and what He did. Man, I think that's pretty cool. When I read the Scripture and I see how God does that, I'm thinking, man, that's neat. Y'all ready to get into something crazy good? Go to verse 5 with me. Watch this. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Have you ever came to church and been intimidated by church people? I have. You come in here and, man, we got it. We look good. And we smell good. Thank God. Amen. And you come in here and you think, man, these people got it all together. Especially that preacher, man. He wears a suit, combs his hair. Oh, my gosh. He's got shiny shoes on, got a Bible. Amen? And some of them councilmen and the Sunday school teachers, they got it all together. Man, he lists everything. They got cool names. They got the right family. Amen? They were raised in the right family. I mean, man, they were Aaron's kids. I mean, they were preachers. They were raised like priests. I mean, man, they got it all figured. You ever come to church and think, man, they got it. Everybody in here's got it figured out. Man, I don't. I ain't got it all together, but all these church people do. That's why it's hard to come to church sometimes. It's hard to come to a new church because you think everybody in here has got it figured out. Raised in the right family. Welch's, Smith's, Hughes. They got it, man. No problem. And you run into some of them Sheltons. God, how'd they get in here? Amen. Praise God. You look at their names. You look at, man, Zacharias. You know what his names means? His name means God did not forget. Zacharias was so blessed that he's the first person that God speaks to by way of Scripture, by way of angel, for 400 years. After Malachi, he's dead silent. And all of a sudden, he whispers into Zechariah's life, man, you are a blessed man. There's 20,000 priests He got picked out of 20,000 off a rotation to be in there lighting incense on a certain day. They cast lots, and the lot fell on him. Great name, great family, great job, great minister, praise God, and he's lucky. There's somebody, man, y'all are so cool. I mean, because we come to church, we just think, we look at some people, and we think, man, they got it all. They got the total package. They are blessed and not stressed. They're highly favored. Man, they get the best parking spot. They got the most money. They look the best. Man, they got it. And man, the scriptures, when you read them, you think, man, I would love to be Zechariah and I would love to be Elizabeth right about now. Amen? I mean, they're worshiping God. They're doing, he's up at the temple. She's off at home preparing for him to come home. And listen, let's go back. I want you to hear this. Listen. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments, ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Who are these people? She's up there where she lives at, making a dinner, making something for him to come home. He's been serving in the temple, and she's praising God. God, you're so good. You ever met women like... Have you ever met women, you go into their house, and their house smells good, their house looks good, their dishes are all clean, their beds are all made, their floor's all vacuum, and there ain't a dust, and there ain't one of them dust bunnies running around, we're nowhere. You know what I'm talking... Y'all don't know what dust bunnies are. I do, okay. And you go in there, man, they're perfect. They got it all figured out. I mean, in the daytime, she's making goodies. Amen? And she's getting all the kids. The kids are perfect. Hair comb, I mean, clothes perfect. You're like, man, that's Elizabeth. That's Zacharias. And the whole time, they're just saying, oh, God's good. Come on, y'all, are y'all with me or not? Have you ever met people like that? When you come in this church, you think there's a whole church full of them. Amen? And Zacharias, oh yeah, what's he doing? Well, he's a great husband. He's down there at the church praying, lighting incense, blessing. God's speaking to him straight out of heaven. Man, he's a great man. He's going to worship God on the way home, on the way down there. Man, they got it all figured out. Hallelujah. Hey, is that good or what? That's a good way to start those first two verses, ain't it? Yeah, preacher. God, I wish I were an interactive crowd. It'd be awesome. I mean, we'd be going back and forth right now. Verse 6. Verse 7, they were blameless. And they had no child, verse 7, they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. What? What? Now the real comes out. They're older couple now. They don't have any children. And guess what? They're both about to go out of this world and they don't have nothing to pass on. They don't have a legacy to leave. They don't have a son to say, hey, this is your property. They don't even have a daughter to say, hey, you can get married to somebody who's a near kinsman, a redeemer, and you can build on our property. They have nothing. Some of you need to make up your mind that you're going to serve God, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether things are going good or they're going bad. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm tithing. I'm going to church. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be involved. I don't care if things going good or going bad. Because guess what? When we first looked into Zechariah and Elizabeth's life, we thought they were perfect people. No, they were imperfect people who made up their mind that we're serving God whether He blesses us or not. Whoa. Have you decided that yet? Or are you just going to say, well, you know, I'll serve Him if He keeps, you know, giving me all the goods. If He keeps blessing me. If He keeps doing all this great stuff in my life, then I'll bless, I'll show up and I'll do. But if one truck, we get trouble, if there's problems in my life, I started thinking about people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. I started thinking about Elizabeth. I was thinking about health problems. You know what? You're probably sitting next to somebody who's had health problems and you don't even know it. You came in here, they look so good, and they dress up so good, they smell so good, and they're so fun, and they're excited, and they're in church, so you think, man, they're such good people. But if you just knew their backstory, some of them's had open heart surgery, and they laid on tables, and they were scared to death. I said they were scared to death. They're spiritual, and they trusted God, and they knew where they're going if they died. But while they were laying there on that last day, when somebody, the man of God came in to pray with them, or their family said goodbye, when they rolled them into that room, they were sitting there going, oh God, you better be real. I wish I had some real people every once in a while just say, amen, preacher. You're running on the line right now. Hey, you're doing pretty good right now. You're hitting a button right now. There's some people in here, man, they didn't know if they were going to live. They didn't know if they were going to die. They had started praying. They had already started making up their mind how their funeral was going to go. I guess it's none of us, right? Some people in here sitting here struggling right now with health issues. If we had a line to anoint people and pray over them, they'd be the first one up here saying, pray for me. I'm hurting. Amen? That's our thing about women that had miscarriages. There's some women in this church that has miscarriages. They sat right beside you. Amen? They've struggled. They wanted to have kids and they had miscarriages. And they still hurt every single day. They think about it all the time. They have problems with their kids that are alive. They have problems in their homes. Some people wanted kids. Zachariah, they wanted kids so bad. They wanted to leave a lineage so bad. They were getting older every year. They said, well, I bet God's going to wait. I bet He's waiting for us to get more mature. I bet He's waiting for us to get more financially secure. We just keep praying. And every year, I mean, everybody, could you imagine every time they looked out their window and they see everybody else playing with their kids and taking their kids to church and they're sitting there going, man, why not us? You ever looked at perfect people and you think they're so perfect, but if you really talk to them, they've got chaos going on in their life. They've got kids that are on drugs and alcohol. They've got fussing and fighting going on in their homes. They can't agree on anything. Maybe there's some people sitting by you this morning who's been through some divorce. There's some people sitting in this room that you thought, man, look at them. They're happy with their wife. They're happy with their kid. Nope. Guess what? This is their second wife. This is their second group of kids. Man, we look good in church, but praise God, we only look good in church because we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. We kept showing up despite of our problems, despite of the situations. We kept coming despite of how imperfect we are. We cleaned up good, we look good, but it's because of Christ that we can sit here and worship Him. Whew. There's some people in here that's buried a wife, who's buried a husband. And you think, man, they're so smart and they're so talented and they're so good and they got so much time on their hands and they just do all this great stuff. They volunteer for everything. But if you ask them, they would say they're a little bit lonely at night sometimes. See, you take your husband or your wife for granted. They would like one more night. They would like one more day to sit and talk just about the simple things, the groceries, the power bill. Oh, and how are we going to get this done? And how are we going to get that done? The simple stuff. It's not about what you do when you're here. A lot of times it's those things that you don't talk about much. It's the things behind the scenes. Man, we see people in this church. I like to walk and hold some of y'all's hand and walk in here. A pastor, you get to know people on a little bit different level. They see you now and they're like, man, that guy's got it all together. That girl's got it all together. Yeah, but just a few years ago, didn't have a job. Marriage was on the rocks. Family didn't trust them. If they said they were going to do something, most people marked it down as not going to happen. But today, if you say something, they put you in charge of things. Whew. Man, ain't that amazing? That's how God works. That's how God works. See, this church is not a church filled with perfect people who do it right and are doing so perfect. We're a bunch of people who got saved by the grace of God, and we keep coming back because we found out in our brokenness and in our mess and in our troubles and through death and sickness and pain and heartache and troubles and sickness, we found out that God is good and you can trust Him. You keep serving Him. You keep showing up and He'll be better to you even though you lost some things, even though you didn't have what everybody else had, even though you had some struggles. Praise God, you could come here, raise your hand, and when some people, a stranger sees you, they can say and go, man, sis, she's got it all together. She praises God. She reads her Bible. She prays. Yeah, but you didn't see me a couple months ago. You didn't see me at the beginning. You didn't see me when I was in trouble. You didn't see me before God cleaned me up. I was sitting right where you're sitting. Woo! I'm glad God's good, ain't you? I'm glad it ain't. We ain't just a bunch of perfect people. I'm glad the Bible don't leave out the crazy. A lot of times He introduces us when we look really good, but our testimony and our backstory. See, a lot of y'all don't share your testimony. Some of y'all don't share what God's done in your life because you're afraid of what people's going to say or think about you. But there's some new people coming into this church, and they would love to hear how you're not perfect. You're just saved. You're not perfect. You're just forgiven. You're not perfect. You just got saved by Jesus Christ on your worst day. See, the Bible says salvation is a gift. But I'm always amazed about when you get it. The gift of God is salvation, amen? And guess what? That gift always shows up on the day that you shouldn't get a gift. We get, what do we tell kids? If you're good, we'll get you something. God says, if you find out, when you find out you're the worst sinner and you are not deserving of salvation, that's the day I'm going to show you, show up and show you the greatest gift you've ever received. On your worst day, God shows up with a gift. Here. I can't help it. Y'all have heard me preach this a million times. I just can't help it. I don't know why. But every time I say the gift of God, I think about that demonic man. I think every single time. I think about it almost like it's Christmas time. Could you imagine the demonic man? It's maybe around Christmas time. He's sitting up there amongst the tombs, and he's nobody left. I've wasted my life. All my friends are dead. Every time I go out, I get arrested. Man, I am a mess. I don't have any clothes on. I don't have anything. This is not where I wanted to live my life. I wish God would show up. If He's real, I wish He'd just show up. Amen? The greatest Christmas gift that's ever been given rolls up on the shoreline. And he runs, man, he ran down there like a 3-year-old kid. Demons and all. Can you see him? Some of you men, can you see him? He's running down. I just see it, a hillside. I see a graveyard on a hillside. And I see that man busting it down that hill to Jesus. And them apostles' eyes are about this big. And they're going, what in the world is this? Naked man, cut, scarred, chains. Man, back this boat up, Jesus, and get us out of here. No, this man needs me more than anybody else right now. This woman needs me more than anybody else right now. Remember when you got to your darkest place, your lowest place, that place where you understood that you were a sinner and you needed a Savior? Praise God, that's the day when you repent. You say, God, I am no worthy. I'm not worthy of heaven. I'm guilty of every sin ever committed. Have you ever told a lie? Yep. Ever looked on a woman with lust? Ever looked on a man with lust? Yep. Ever took God's name in vain? Yep. Yeah. Praise God, you ever stole anything? Ever lied about? Yep. Guess what? You broke all those commandments, and guess what? You're guilty before God. If you stood before Him, He'd cast you into utter darkness and hell, separated Him for eternity. But instead, you know what He does when you say, God, I've broken all your commandments. I've broken all your rules. I know that I'm guilty. He says, great. This is the day that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the day when the gift shows up. My God unwraps itself and says, I'll take your place. I love this story. I'm glad it started out and shows people, because we do that a lot. We show people our best side. We show them all our gifts and our talents. And we tell them how great God is. We don't tell them how great and why He's so great. Because I could just see Zacharias, and I could just see him all the time. Hey, babe, don't give up. Yeah, but I'm old now. Don't give up on God. Hey, guess what? I got picked to go down and light the incense. I'm going to be in the inner circle. I'm going to be in there, and I'm going to be serving God, and I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying at home, too. Amen. Y'all good? Watch this. It gets even better. Look. And according to the custom, let's go back down to verse 8. While they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he was in the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without of the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand, on the right side of the altar of incense. And when then Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Let's get real right here. Y'all ready? God is going to find you in your service despite your trouble. No, listen. God's going to find you in your service despite your trouble. See, what the devil would tell you is, since God is not doing this, since God is not answering your request, since God is not blessing you with that thing that you want most, please give up. No. Stop. Please quit. Please quit going to church. Please quit volunteering for the people that you are serving. Please quit. Please give up. Please give in. If God loved you, He would have already given you that thing that you've been asking for. Everybody in this room, you asked for something, but God ain't giving it to you. But you got to make up your mind. It's about me and God. It's about eternal life. I'm not quitting. He's going to find you in your service. I can't explain this to you. I can't tell you why it is. But listen to this. When you're busy for God and operating in your gifts and callings and abilities, even though God ain't answered all your requests, He shows up. You're going to meet somebody. You're going to run into somebody. You're going to talk to somebody. He's going to send somebody. Listen, I'll tell you how I got into full-time ministry. I walked the property of Providence Ministries when I was going to give some homeless people some food. That was it. I was looking for some homeless people. In my service, I found my calling. In your service, you will find what God wants you to do. I get people all the time, "Preacher, tell me what to do." That's not my job. That's not my job. That's your job to find. That's God's responsibility. You just got to serve where you're called to serve until God shows up. Amen? And gives it to you. You're not going to like this next part. Write it down. You're not going to like this next part. Most of the time, this happens, there ain't nobody around. There ain't nobody around. It ain't going to be in corporate. It ain't going to be in corporate worship. It's not going to be in big church. Guess what? It's going to be when you're serving God and you're all alone and you're worshiping despite a high golly bum. Ain't nobody listening to me this morning. It's when you can do anything you want to do, be anybody you want to be, act however you want to act, and you still are madly in love with Jesus. Still madly in love with Him. When you can see, Zacharias is in the temple. Everybody else is outside. This is not corporate church. It's just Him and God. And He... God, I wish I could get real. I wish some of y'all would be real with me on this. You can come to church and still have a bad attitude. You can come to church and still be a stinker. Amen. Amen. But when you see somebody, you're like, hey, brother. Hey, how are you, brother? Hey, sis. God bless you, sister. But when you get past that, amen. See, when He got in there on the inner side, when it's just them two, amen. He's in there lighting them, and I can just hear His heart. God, You ain't give me a kid yet. God, You ain't give me a kid yet. God, you ain't answered that prayer, but I remember where I was when You saved me. God, I remember who You was when You saved me. I didn't need nothing else from You, God. I didn't want nothing else from You, God. When You showed up, it was good, just me and You, God. You gave me eternal life, God. You gave me peace, God. You gave me joy, God. You gave me hope, God. He didn't give you a list. Donnie, He didn't say, hey, if I do this, I'm going to give you everything else. Hey, that was good enough. He could have been in there. He could have been in that temple. He could have been in that inner sanctum, in there lighting them incense. I can't even believe I'm here lighting these incense. Listen, everybody else, see? You got to understand what the priest was doing when he was in there. Man, this is so good. Listen to this, preacher. You want to hear this, okay? Guess what? He was supposed to be in there. And a lot of times, it's going to be so good. A lot of times, he was supposed to be in there getting word from God. Amen? For everybody else. Whoa. Man, as a preacher, as a teacher, I want a word for everybody else. But sometimes, I need a word for me. God, I know that's going to be a preacher. I know that's going to preach. I know that's going to... Can you give me a word for me? Amen? God, I'm about to kick somebody's tires in right here. What? He did. He was standing there, and I believe with all my heart, He was lightning. Some of y'all need to make up your mind to serve God and worship God and love on God even when you don't feel like it. See, sometimes, somebody told me, sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Who said that? Somebody said that the other day, and I caught it. Sometimes you've got to praise Him on sacrifice. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to sacrifice a praise. Well, never mind. That's good, and it's gone. So, well, I didn't feel like singing. Sing anyway. I didn't feel like praising. Praise anyway. I didn't feel like shouting. Shout anyway. Praise God. It'd be something if we'd shout when we didn't feel like it, and sometimes we'd shout more when we did feel like it. But he's in there worshiping, and all of a sudden, God shows up. Amen? Or the answer. There's an angel. Yeah, man, if you worship good enough, sometimes God will show up. And when God shows up, it wrecks you. Amen? Anybody in here else like to get wrecked by God? I do. I like to turn into a wreck with God. I don't try to run away from Him. I try to turn into it. Praise God. He's standing next thing you know, the angel's standing there. Amen? Woo! Glory. Hey, you know what angels are. And this is Gabriel. This is Gabriel. He stands in the presence of God. Never mind. I don't want to get deep on you, but guess what? God dispatched an angel for Zechariah who was in the temple worshiping when he didn't feel like it. Some of y'all want an answer. Some of y'all want a miracle. Some of y'all want a word. Praise God. If you would worship Him in the places when nobody else is looking, when you didn't feel like it, praise God, God will answer you. He shows up and He says, you're going to have a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to preach again a lot of this tonight. So I want you to hear this. He said, you're going to get a son in your old age. He listened to this. Here's how he answered. This is how it translates out. He goes, Ray, what's this? It's good. He goes, I'm old, Jack. That's how it translates. I promise. Read it. Study it. That's how he said it. Because some of y'all wonder why his answer and Mary's answer didn't get the same. Because Mary asked the same thing. How is this thing going to happen? Amen. She didn't get rebuked. Amen. But she didn't say it like that. She just said, how are these things happen, Lord? Zechariah said, I am old. Come on, it'd be all right to laugh at church. It'd be all right. I am old. Old dudes don't do that. And my wife is old. Huh? Y'all don't believe me. Watch this. Y'all watch this, watch this, watch, watch this. He said, Zacharias, look at 18, jump to 18. I promise I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to preach more of this tonight. So come back. You'll be excited. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Right there it translates out this. I am old with a bad attitude. Amen? Some of y'all, if I told you right now you're going to have a kid, some of y'all, you'd say, I am old. I want some grandkids, great-grandkids. I'm too old for that. Come on. For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. I'm old, she's old. Stop lying to me, Lord. Amen? Look at the response. And the angel answering and said to him, I am Gabriel. Y'all don't ever get excited. Y'all are a hard bunch. When you give your greatest excuse, God turns around and gives His greatest response. I am old. I am Gabriel. I was not dispatched. I'm not just some angel. I am standing at the throne of glory. God said, never mind. Some of y'all need to know God said it. God said you can do some stuff that you can't. You don't think you can do. God said it. Some of y'all are walking miracles. Some of y'all are sitting here and you shouldn't be sitting here. Why do you think that is? Because God wants more out of your life than you just to sit here and take up a space. God bless me, got me over that tenure. He didn't just save you. He didn't heal you. He didn't do that for you just to testify about that. He sent you to run through this world and proclaim that God is good. I love this part of the story. Because some of us in this room need to shut up and just serve God instead of telling everybody we're going to serve God. Because guess what happened to him? He was in there thinking he was going to get a word from God and share with all the people. God gave him a word, and guess what happened? He told him, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. Zacharias walked outside the temple when he should have had a word for everybody. He didn't have a word for nobody. He couldn't even speak. Some of y'all think you're going to get by of how awesome you are and how talented you are. Some of y'all need to be quiet for the very first time in life and just to show Jesus. And guess what happened? He came out. God, y'all, I'm getting this. He'd come outside the temple, and he's like, God, y'all got to get this, man. He comes out of the temple, and he's like, it would be amazing, because if some of y'all really had an encounter with God, you'd smile more. You'd have peace. You'd have joy. You'd light up the room without saying a word. Ain't nobody. He come out. He never had no son before. God named him. He told him, I'm Gabriel. You're going to have a boy. They ain't listening to me, man. Get Ed. You understand what I'm saying? He walked. Terry, get this. Hey, oh, man. Oh, my baby. I'm having a boy. His name's John. He's coming. God said, I can't say a stinking word. Tears run down his eyes, man. Some of y'all ain't wept in forever. Some of y'all ain't prayed in forever. Some of y'all ain't done what God told you in forever. Some of y'all don't even know if God's still in your life. You know what to come to the conclusion, Ed? He's seen God in there. He's seen God in there. He's got a vision from God. Some of y'all think it's going to be your words, your acts. When you get in the presence of God, you ain't got to explain God. Lamar, just... I felt when I first met him. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to tell nobody. Been in the presence of God. Let's all stand as I come to this song. If God spoke to you, come.